Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Do you realize this is our the fifth anniversary of the show? We've been on there five years.
You and I are kind of sharing a brain. I actually was on my, I went to the calendar on my phone this morning, and I flipped back to 2012, and I was thinking, yes, the day after the Super Bowl in 2012 was the first show,
yes,
and I had it calculated as February the 6th.
Now, maybe it is, but I'm just saying, well, here we are, end of five long years. I mean, the national nightmare that is this show. I've had a blast, everybody. I've had a blast doing this. I've really enjoyed it all the way through, and hopefully, I mean, more importantly, I hope the audience has enjoyed it, because look, we need you more than you need me. I need you much more than you need me, and I know it. So I hope you've enjoyed it, because I have thoroughly enjoyed the first 5 years, and you know, and hopefully there's another 5 years of this, because I'm really enjoying it. Oh, Sean, Drew just cringed.
Well, I've only been part of about 10 months of it, and it's been a blast for me as well.
Well, I want to thank Kevin for the awesome job that he did the first 4 years plus. I learned a lot more about NASCAR than the Olympics that I ever wanted to know. And also in the awesome job you've done. So between the two of you, you've made it a great experience for me. So thank you very much. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet. And Brewers Outlet's been with us since day one. It's amazing. Purdy, Brewers, and Sunbury Motors have been with us since the first day. I mean, the Sunbury Motors studio, what I have here, without them, without Sunbury Motors, I cannot begin to tell you what Tom and the group have meant to whatever success we feel we've had with the show, because it doesn't happen without them. Purdy's been with us on every Monday since the day we started. Brewers Outlet has been there every Friday since the day we started. And it's Super Bowl weekend, which, guess what? That means specials. Lots and lots of specials. We always talk about imports, domestics, and microbrews. Well, let's talk about this. Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, for $11.98. Labatt's 28-pack bottles, $19.95. Hurricane 40-ounce bottles, $1.50. And, of course, the Pickle Bar, second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels. Boy, I could go for a couple of those pickles in that Pickle Bar this weekend for the Super Bowl. Ooh, I could go for that. But those are your specials at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the Super Bowl weekend. You must stock up. There are Super Bowl parties all over the place. I mean, Sean's having a chip and dipper over at his place. It's going to be great. Can't wait. I've already had 40 people tell me they're coming with me.
Whoa.
What, problem?
No. You gave me a 51-hour heads up, so we're good.
51-hour heads up? I told you about a month ago we were all showing up. God, jeez.
Oh, I thought that was the post-Christmas party.
I talked to Franklin. I talked to Pat. I mean, we're all coming.
Sweet.
We're all in. I mean, everybody. We're all going to your place. It's going to be a lot of fun. Franklin said he couldn't wait.
He said we're going to get after it.
Yeah, he said we are going to get after it is exactly what he said. So there you go. I mean, it's a chip and dipper over at Sean's place. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. But, yeah, stock up now. Mike Conti today, Falcons Radio Network on the show. Nor Princiati, Boston Globe, today's show. My brother, today's show. Now, this is how we're going to handle the last half hour. Sean, we're going to do all prop bets. So we're going to take all the prop bets and we're going to go through them and have some fun with it.
Oh, like who will win the coin toss or who will get the first down, that kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a list somewhere of what they happen to be. And we'll just have some fun with that. Then at the end, we'll pick the game. So that's how we'll handle that half hour. So we'll go through all the prop bets that one can make on the Super Bowl. And
there's at least 50 of them.
Look, we got a half hour. It's good. I mean, yeah. We can keep the answer short and simple. I mean, yeah. I don't need War and Peace to figure out who wins the coin toss.
No, we won't be scrambling. We won't be scrambling.
No, and if we don't get to all of them, so what?
Yeah.
Do you have any desire to view halftime?
I will, for sure. Just with being across the, you know, the other side of the glass on 94KX and playing Lady Gaga since she broke through in, what was it, 2008, 2009. So yeah, I'll definitely watch.
I, on the other hand, have zero desire to watch it and probably will not. As you know, and as the audience knows, pregame show, no. I'll tune in after 6 o'clock at some point. Once it gets to about 6 o'clock, I'll tune in at that point to pick it up. Don't need all the break. Look, I mean, we've been doing this show now. We've had 2 weeks worth talking about the Super Bowl. I mean, look at all the Super Bowl guests we've had on. I mean, do I really need to hear what Terry, Howie, and Jimmy and and Kurt break down the game? Come on, I've had enough.
There are actually a couple of Lady Gaga Super Bowl prop bets, like what song will she play first during the halftime show?
I don't know any of her songs. I don't.
There's actually this one, too.
Look.
What color will Lady Gaga's hair be when she comes on stage for the halftime show, blonde or any other color?
I mean, I know who she is.
Yeah.
But I'm also 1,000 years old. This is not my era.
You've made it perfectly clear over the years you love the Gaga. I've heard you say it. Love the Gaga.
I have said that.
You'll take a glimpse.
I have no idea who she is, but I mean, obviously I know who she is. But you know, I'm going to get up, have dinner, you know, enjoy whatever.
Well, it is a 30 minute halftime.
You know, and that's a problem. Let me explain that for you.
And her performance is something like 12, 14 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a problem game-wise. You have to remember, in the NFL, halftime is 12 minutes, which means you get in there, you've got your routine, you take care of it, and then you go back out. Now you're going to be in there for 30 minutes, a completely different animal for the Falcons to deal with. Now, Dan Quinn's been through it before as the DC with the Seattle Seahawks. All right, so he's been through it, but only 4 of the Falcon players have ever played in the Super Bowl. It does make a difference. The halftime of the Rose Bowl, for example, was only 2 minutes longer than normal. So instead of a 20-minute halftime, it was 22 minutes. But I did make note of it right away because as a broadcaster, I had to fill the extra 2 minutes. On a day where, you know, hey, let's go to the scoreboard. There aren't a lot of games on the scoreboard. On what was January 2nd this time through. So believe me, you are aware of it. And Belichick and the Patriots, now obviously all the Patriots have played in this game. Chris Hogan, for example, has never played in the Super Bowl. But several of the Patriots have, and of course the coaching staff has. They know how to handle a 30-minute halftime as opposed to 12. And there is a big difference between a 12-minute halftime, because that's what you're used to every time out, as opposed to a 30-minute halftime. That is an issue. That's not a small thing to deal with. And it's something a lot of people don't think about. But since I'll be sitting there consuming products from Brewer's Outlet at that point, I'm not going to worry too much about it.
Top 10, top 10 hot.
I thought I weaved that in pretty well there.
It was awesome. Loved it. Top 10 prop bet now in Vegas. How many times Gisele Bündchen will be shown on TV? Current over under at 1.5.
Oh, boy.
we'll stick with the in-game props.
I mean, those are all good questions. It's just...
Yeah.
See, I always find that stuff just like, okay, who cares? Get back to the game. But I understand that you have a rather diverse audience. So you might as well show the breadwinner in the Brady home.
She is for sure.
I mean, I've always found that comical because of all the money he's made in 17 years. But, I mean...
Hey, without her, there's no moat around the castle.
Well, because of her, because they want to keep, you know, they need a moat around the castle. Giselle's in there. Get a moat. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. 5 long years for this audience sitting here. 5 years of... Lawrence listening to the promos on Monday morning here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
We've already run into another suit issue on a Friday. The 5th anniversary of the show is on Monday, right? February 6th. So we'll be heading into our 6th year of the show. So it'll be 5 years on the air. The suit thinks I should bring a cake to everybody. What?
the thinking process just boggles the mind sometimes.
Okay, it's supposed to be the other way around. I mean, where was he raised? Benton? What's going on?
Not too far. He's part of that Orangeville SB Metroplex out there.
All right, come on. Where was he raised? Orangeville? What the heck? All right, come on. Does he know how things work? Okay, skip that question.
I was going to say, that's a completely different can there.
Drew is texting me as we speak. 5th anniversary of the show is Monday. That's 5 years of promo torture for Lawrence. You think about that. I mean, I know you've been calling the last 10 months the time of your life. I mean, but you know, you're faking it pretty well. So,
I think my acting chops were that good.
No, really. I'm talking. You should have. I mean, your SAG card. It's worth it. All right. I proposed to my wife tonight that we go see Hidden Figures. Your thoughts?
Oh, great. The movie about the 3 mathematicians that helped in the NASA program.
Helped, yeah.
Huge. And it's an awesome story. And for a lot of people, they had no clue that happened until, you know, since this movie came out just a few weeks ago.
So I love about this story. There's so many elements to this I love. Every time we hit April 15th, I always talk about Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And I said, there's so many elements to it. I mean, so many layers. You know, the hope he gave to the black and African-American community, everything that he put up with, breaking down the awful barriers of prejudice that existed. Well, now this story is about, I think it's 3, right? 3 black women. All right, so now you're talking about 3 women. 3 women that happen to be African-American. And guess what? They're the smartest people in the room. And this doesn't happen without them. In the 60s. In the 60s.
Yeah, Jim Parsons, who plays Sheldon on Big Bang Theory, he's kind of like the bad guy in the movie.
It's about time. Well, he's kind of the bad guy in the Big Bang Theory, too, actually.
Yeah, you're, in a way, you're right.
Okay, actually, he's in that as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's... You think about it. So now I'm going to go back to Jackie Robinson. I've always pointed this out. The Jackie Robinson moment is also significant for this as a nation. Because the breakthrough of Jackie Robinson is, to me, the starting point for this country's ability to reach its fullest potential. Because guess what? That's a recognition of, let's use the entire talent pool because there's talent all over the place. Well, this movie, Hidden Figures, sounds like, in using the entire talent pool, it's the first steps to getting to the moon. That's why I'm anxious to see it tonight. Yeah. Our other choice was the Sage Karam story, and I said no to that.
There's always La La Land.
You know what? I know people have gone to it and really like it, but I'm not big on musicals. Now, I know it's not completely a musical. I know that. But to me, I've always enjoyed a musical in a theater very, very much. Very much. But it's never translated to the big screen for me. I don't know why. So I'm not... I mean, if I were ordered to go, I'd go. I'd be okay. But this was my suggestion, so I thought we'd try Hidden Figures tonight. Love the space program, love math, so let's see how it goes. I heard it's great.
Imagine yourself behind the wheel of the 2017 Lincoln MKZ with its refined 400 horsepower twin turbo V6, its effortless power, and the conversation quiet interior for a sense of serenity. A retractable panoramic roof for more sky than any other luxury sedan. It's like that. The exhilarating new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. Get your new Lincoln MKZ today with exceptional limited time offers, including a $1,500 retail premium bonus cash certificate and 0% for 36 months at your home for affordable American luxury. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. We're online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. 5 long years for you people. Wow. That really is kind of interesting, you know? 5 years. Kind of flew by fast, didn't it? Time now. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Plenty of specials, by the way, on this Super Bowl weekend to talk about. In fact, don't forget the big chipper and dipper going on over at Sean's place. Should be great. We got a lot of people coming with me. Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, 18 for just $11.98. Labatt 28-pack bottles, $19.95. Hurricane 40-ounce bottles, $1.50. And, of course, the pickle bar. Look, they got snacks. They got wine coolers, water, soft drinks. The peanuts are... fresh, hot, roasted right there at the register. Pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. this day in sports history. 1876, Albert Spaulding and his brother started a sporting goods store. They manufactured the first official baseball, first official tennis ball, basketball, golf ball, and football. 1912, in the United States, professional football set some rules. The field was shortened to 100 yards. Touchdowns would be worth 6 points instead of five. Four downs would be allowed instead of three. Still use that system in the CFL. And the kickoff was moved from midfield to the 40-yard line. Now it's at the 35. 1951, Dick Button. You saw him on TV for many years as the analyst on the Olympics. And he won the U.S. figure skating title for the sixth time in his career in 1951. Winter Olympics in Asia for the first time in Sapporo, Japan in 1972. 1979, the Twins traded Rod Carew to the California Angels for four players. 2001, the XFL debuted. The Las Vegas Outlaws beat the New York, New Jersey Hitmen 19-0, and the Orlando Rage beat the Chicago Enforcers 33-29. Fascinating 30-for-30 on it last night, by the way. I enjoyed it. 2002, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. And, of course, you always have to pick up on the mistakes they make. It says here over the Los Angeles Rams, au contraire, mon frère. Obviously, somebody fresh out of college wrote this. Over the St. Louis Rams, it was the first Super Bowl win for the Patriots. The game ended on a last-second field goal by Adam Vinatieri. Halftime entertainment for Sean's edification was by Britney Spears. I did that just for you. Obviously, you're touched.
All right. I am.
No, you're not. You'd have jumped in sooner. I can just tell. You're not into it. You're not feeling it. All right. Mike Conti joins us from the Falcons Radio Network. First of all, Mike, welcome. It's great to have you back. I know it's been a busy week for you, and not just in Houston, but all over the place. Before the NFC Championship game, you tweeted out that you'd never been so nervous for a broadcast. This is the Super Bowl. How are you feeling right now?
I'm not nearly as nervous because this has been such a whirlwind week with a lot of commitments, and the Hawks have been traveling this week. I do Hawks games as well, so I've been on the road in Miami and got here in Houston, did a Hawks game last night. Now, kind of like what you do, Steve, turning my attention to the Falcons, and I'm too busy to be nervous. I'm sure when I walk into that broadcast booth on Sunday, I'll probably feel a little bit differently, but right now, I got to be honest, I miss my wife, and I'm really ready for this week to be over. So I miss my wife too much to be nervous at this point, but I'm sure Sunday it'll be a different story.
Understand that completely. What, you know, you've watched the coverage of it. In the coverage you've watched, what do people not know about the team that you know so much about?
Wow, Steve, that's such a good question. I think it's become apparent, and I've got a lot of radio row hits this week with stations all over the country. I just think a lot of people don't realize just how good this Falcons offense is and what they have done this year. If you look at all these metrics, points scored, points per game, yards per play, yards per pass attempt, I mean, the Falcons are in the top 10 all time in a lot of those metrics. And I think a lot of people here who have not seen the Falcons play outside of maybe the NFC Championship game, they don't realize that there's more than just Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman to this offense. I mean, there are 7-8 different skilled players who are weapons, who each bring a different skill set that can be very, very tricky for a defense to scheme for. And I think a lot of people have been peddling the storyline this week that it's going to be Goodell handing the trophy to Brady, and that's going to be awkward. And, you know, that might happen. But I think a lot of people just don't realize the Falcons are going to come into this game, and even if they don't win, they're going to score a lot of points.
A point I've made about the Falcons for the last 2 weeks has been this. We know Bill Belichick does not want, quote, your best guy to beat him, you know, outside of the quarterback. I mean, you can't really control that too much. So, obviously, Julio Jones is going to get a lot of attention. But the difference between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons is this. Sanu and Gabriel. Fair enough?
Yeah.
I mean, the balance on the other side makes the Falcons a different animal for the Patriots to defend.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I thought Sanu, you know, Julio had the big numbers. He had 180 and two touchdowns. I thought Sanu was one of the best players on the field in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay, to be honest with you. He's been a real matchup problem over the course of maybe the last 8-9 weeks as he's gotten 100% healthy. And Gabriel, I think he's a guy who might actually, if there's a prop bet out there, I know they bet on everything on the Super Bowl. If there's a prop bet on Taylor Gabriel getting a carry or two, I would not be shocked if there's a jet sweep in the package for Kyle Shanahan to Taylor Gabriel, because he's the fastest guy on this team. And if they can get the ball to him somehow in open space, he can make a play. But I think on top of that, Steve, you've also got the tight ends. I mean, the Falcons are one of the few teams in the NFL that will play with a three tight end set, and not just at the goal line. And they don't mind throwing to all three. And all three of them have caught touchdowns. In fact, I think all three of them have caught multiple touchdowns this year. So, yeah, I mean, Belichick could scheme for Julio, and I'm sure he will. Mm-hmm. But remember, the Falcons are 9-1 this year in games where Julio is held under 100 yards receiving.
That's a good point. One thing, though, and you have been, you know, you're finally into the scene now, but the Falcons have never gone through this scene before.
No.
Now, not all the Patriots have, but the vast majority have. It's a different scene all the way through. You know this team pretty well. Are they even keeled enough in your... I know Brian is, but are they even keeled enough to dust it aside and just get to the practice field and get ready?
Yes, and here's why I think they are. And it goes beyond everything I've seen and heard from the players this week at all their availabilities. You're right that all but four players on the 53-man roster have not been here before. But their head coach has a couple times, and he's won the game as a defensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, as I've spoken to you, Steve, I've talked about how this team is really a reflection of their head coach. They buy into everything he tells them. You know, personality-wise, they really reflect his personality. And Dan Quinn has done a remarkable job as they've gone on this run of tuning out all the outside noise and just focusing on their business, their game plan, what they have to do. And I thought he made a really good decision by keeping the team 30 miles outside of downtown Houston. The Falcons are staying nowhere close to the action. They're practicing at Rice University, so they'll bus in to practice, and then they'll bus back 30 miles outside of town. Patriots are staying in the Galleria area, right in the middle of the action, really. So I think Dan Quinn, just by making that decision, hey, let's stay out in Memorial City, let's not even get anywhere near all this nonsense that's going on here this week. We'll concentrate on our obligations, but other than that, we're going to play football. I think that is exactly what this team has needed. And, you know, Steve, you've covered a lot of college bowl games. When you go to a bowl game, when you go to the bowl site, the thing you hope for most that no one gets hurt, no one goes to jail, and no one gives the opposing team any bulletin board material.
Right.
And the Falcons have been successful in all three of those
areas. Yeah, they've done all of that so far. Defensively, one of the keys against the Patriots over the years, whether it's the Ravens, they've had pretty decent success. The Giants, when they played the Super Bowls against them, pretty decent success against them, have been able to get pressure off the edge with then ends sacrificing themselves with that pressure to then get pressure into Brady's face. We know they have Vic Beasley. Are the Falcons good enough up the middle to make that happen against him?
I don't think so, in all honesty. And the reason why is because Adrian Claiborne is hurt, and they're really going to miss him. And, you know, Courtney Upshaw has done a very, very good job filling in for him, but he's not the same kind of player. Now we also get the word, Steve, that Dwight Freeney might have gotten hurt in practice this week, and he didn't work out on Thursday. Now, they've been very, very careful with him all year. He's been in the league a long time, and they've really not tried to push him too much during the practice week. But now if you lose Freeney, you've lost another guy off this defensive line. And you're going to start running out of options because the Patriots might be able to double-team Beasley. Now you're putting a lot on your linebackers. And the other thing, too, I think the Falcons are really respectful of the run and LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
And they don't want him having the same kind of game that he had against the Houston Texans and against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's going to make the blitz packages for Richard Smith and Dan Quinn very, very interesting and honestly very, very difficult to plan for.
the secondary. How good, in your opinion, is Alford, and how concerning is it that he's the most hands-on corner in the game?
That's another way of saying he gets a lot of pass interference penalties.
Yes. He's a very handsy player.
Well, here's the thing. He's been a lot better. Since Desmond Trufant, who was the number one corner on this team, got hurt midway through the season, it's put a lot of pressure on Alford and also on Jalen Collins, a second-year player. Now, I think they have really risen to that challenge. They played very well. And Alford will get a flag here or there. But, the thing is, the Patriots, if you look at what they can go to up top, no disrespect to a guy like Chris Hogan, but, it's not really a group that really scares you a whole lot.
No.
I think if the Patriots are going to win this game, they're going to do it by running the football. So I'm not trying to dodge your question, but I think Alford will be fine. I don't think he's going to be a decisive player in this ball game. I think it's all going to come down to the front seven of this defense.
Yeah, I think so, too. The one area about it, the Falcons play man, and they played sub-packages, and the Steelers played zone, and the Patriots sat there and said, okay, anytime you want to come out of it, it's up to you. And the Steelers never did. Never one time did. Matt Ryan, what has made him what we see?
I think it's Alex Mack and the improved play of this offensive line, who have played together the entire year. They've started every single game together, and hopefully that will continue to be the case on Sunday. I know there was a concerning report about Alex Mack after practice yesterday, but, Matt's been great. I don't want to take anything away from him, but because this offensive line has been run blocking better, it allows them to be balanced, and that puts less on Matt Ryan's plate. And then when they do throw, he has more time to throw. And, Matt tends to be a little bit Julio-centric when he's pressured, and he'll try to force the ball to Julio. When you see that he has completed touchdown passes to 13 different receivers this year, I think that's an indication that he feels very comfortable with the pockets he's been given. And that all starts up front with Alex Mack, who I think is the best center in the game. He's a first-team All-Pro. And there's a real concern here in Houston among Atlanta fans and the media that covers this team. How well is he going to be able to play with that fibula injury on Sunday? Because they are going to need him at 110% if they have any chance to win this game.
Finally, Mike, if the Falcons win, what would it mean to the city?
I don't know. I honestly haven't even thought about that yet. Atlanta is such a weird town, Steve. It's a big college football town, as you know. I've always said that if the University of Georgia were to win the National Collegiate Football Championship, that would be the biggest thing to happen in the city of Atlanta. It's a city with a very transient population. There's a lot of Steelers fans, a lot of Eagles fans, a lot of Browns fans that live in Atlanta. So I'll be curious to see the civic reaction. But I will say this. The last 2 weeks in Atlanta, and I finally left Atlanta on Tuesday, I've been in Miami and Houston the rest of the week. The city is ready for something. I mean, everywhere you go, the buildings are lit up in red. People have Falcons car flags. They're wearing jerseys to work. It's come together for a professional sports team in Atlanta in a way that I have not seen in my decade living there. So it would be great. It would certainly relieve a lot of pressure. Atlanta's gone 21 years without a professional sports championship, and in that span we've seen our National Hockey League team depart, so it would certainly mean a lot. And I know the Falcons, the way they've been talking, even on Monday night at opening night, they're unified in their message that they really want to do this for the city of Atlanta.
Mike, always a pleasure. I hope you enjoy every second of this. It is one of the great opportunities in our business to do what you're about to do, and you've earned it, you deserve it, and I hope you enjoy it.
Steve, I mean this sincerely, and I'll go really quick. I would not have the opportunity to broadcast a Super Bowl if it wasn't for what I learned from you. So I'll be thinking a lot about you on Sunday. I mean that sincerely.
That means a lot. Thanks, Mike. That means a lot. Hey, enjoy it, okay? You earned it.
Okay, Steve. Talk to you later.
Mike Conte from the Falcons Radio Network. Very touching. Very touching. We will come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, great to be with you on the show this evening. Next half hour, Nora Princiati from the Boston Globe is going to join us. We've talked about the Falcon point of view, get the Patriot point of view, and then prop bets. We're going to discuss prop bets. My brother's going to be on here. And then, Sean, who should have the list, you or me? Doesn't matter.
I have one pulled up here. We can just go with this one.
We'll go with what you have.
I mean, sure.
Absolutely. We'll do that. And we'll go through. See, I have no desire to see the halftime show, but I rarely do. I have no desire to see the pregame show. I rarely do. I'm just all about the game.
I'm just kind of the point where I've seen a lot of the halftime shows in the past, like U2, Janet Jackson, Rolling Stones. So I keep watching them. Then I can kind of, okay, where does this one stack up compared to the other ones in the past?
What was your best one?
Springsteen was great. Bruno Mars, I thought, was phenomenal. U2 was incredible. Mm-hmm. U2 performed the Super Bowl after 9/11. So it was very touching.
Very, very powerful.
Yes, it was.
But Prince?
Prince was incredible too. Yeah. Forgot about Prince there for a he was I wish it was that was oh yeah, that's right. That was the one where it was Indianapolis and the Bears down in Florida, the one where it rained all night. Yeah, right. Yeah, Prince performed in the rain. Yeah. Purple rain, no pun intended.
Sorry,
I was low-hanging fruit. Sorry.
Whew.
That's bad.
But that's what's made the show successful over the years. We have exploited low-hanging fruit. That's what's allowed us to thrive. The easier the target, the better it is.
Although there was a show on NFL Network last night, the Super Bowl greatest commercials ever. I was almost tempted to watch
it. You know what?
But I didn't.
I was thinking about that the other day, Sean. It turned out I was with a group the other night, and we were just talking about whatever, and then the Super Bowl came up, I guess, at one point. And someone said, and she's a math teacher, as a matter of fact, and she said, yeah, I love it for the commercials. And I thought to myself, I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, I don't have any desire to... even on that anymore.
She's not the only one. Yeah, quite a few. Yeah, quite a few.
Oh, no, I understand they do.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I totally get it. That's not... But even on that, I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
I've heard Alicia Taylor say that here down the hall. She'll watch it for the commercials.
But I'll tell you why. Because I think what's happened in the last 15 years is the game's become good. And I think that's been what's happened. The game has become good. And I think beforehand, what happened before, Sean, is that there's so many of the Super Bowls were mediocre. The commercials were exponentially better than the game. Well, I think what's happened now is that the game has become really good. And because the game has become really good and the games have been close, I think it's changed... In part, what some people may think about it. Your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 51. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.